are listening to the Devils Talking Padres podcast for East Village Times, coming to you from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism and Mass Communication. Here are your hosts, Dominic Stern and Bobby Murphy.
Welcome to Devils Talking Padres, my first episode being back in San Diego in quite some time. Bobby, of course, is choosing to stay in Arizona for the summer, and you're calling in this episode because you're having some internet connection issues, but nonetheless, it's still Devils Talking Padres. Padres just took a series victory from the San Francisco Giants. Sorry we couldn't get to you, preview that series, and to recap the series in Arizona, but one, it was only two games, and then two, Bobby and I, it was finals week this past week, so we were a bit conflicted on timing, and we just weren't able to get it done, but nonetheless, we're back. We're ready to talk about some Padres, Bobby.
Yes, sir, Dom. Always good to be back. And it was so nice being back at Chase Field to watch our Padres play. And I know you went to the game on Saturday, so it must have been nice to be a Petco. But, God, it was just so fun being back. Of course, we did not get to preview the Giants series and review the D-backs series where we split two games. But it was just so nice to be back out there and seeing our boys play.
Yeah, it was really awesome to be back there, and I'll be back there Monday and Tuesday. Come holler at me. I'll be up in section 206. Can't imagine anyone's going to come and say hi, but if you want to, I will not complain there. Great series from the Padres. They didn't really show up too much offensively in the series, but they're able to pitch really well with the exception of basically just one inning coming on Sunday. Limited the Giants' bats, and that was super encouraging to see. And we'll see if that trend continues over when the Pirates come to town. Game one, Padres won 3-2. Game two, Padres won 6-2. Then game three, the Padres dropped 7-1. What are your overall thoughts on this past series?
Yeah, I mean, the Giants have been hot. They were, I believe, in first place going into the series. But taking the first two against them was huge. And you can't be upset that you didn't get a sweep against a team like this who's been hot, best team in the division for the past week or two. But I mean, gladly, I'll take 2 out of 3 against this team. Regardless, series win, and that's what matters. The pitching was great, allowed 2 runs in each of the first 2 games, and then allowed 7 on Sunday, of course. So that was a little unfortunate. Musgrove didn't look as good as he usually does. But, I mean, they weren't huge for the series. Of course, on Saturday, did get those early inning runs, and then we'll get to them in a sec, of course, but the later inning runs, not much in between. But I mean, got the job done the first 2 games. First game, of course, we'll get to it, but Darvish looks great. Pitching looks phenomenal the first 2 games. Sunday just kind of fell apart, but I was happy overall with the outcome of the series.
2 out of 3 is always good. Like you mentioned, the Giants, they're still in first place. If the Padres would have won this game, they would have been in first, which would have been absolutely awesome. And I called the Giants the third-place team a couple times Saturday night. Padres fans were like, you know, we're still in third, right? And I said, that won't be the case on Sunday. Unfortunately, I did not speak it into existence. Java Joe had his worst outing as a Padre. You know, it was bound to happen at some point. Can't always be perfect. You're facing professional hitters. You're going to have bad outings at points. It's how you bounce back from them. It'll be interesting to see how he bounces back from 5 innings, 5 earned runs. It's still funny that, he allows five earned runs and he got 6 total. And then Blake Snell, even when he has his good outings, he still can't get that much further in the games than Joe Musgrove. So I found that to be a bit interesting. Let's talk about these games individually, Bobby. Game one, Padres won 3-2. Got exciting late, to say the least. Yeah, I mean, that's putting it really lightly. The Padres, they fell behind early in the first inning as Buster Posey, who's been really good this year, surprisingly, after not playing in 2020 because he opted out. And I mean, being completely honest, not being that good in the past couple of years before that. So he kept that going in game one with a home run, but then the Padres, they kind of squeaked a run across with a chopper hit by Eric Hosmer that Tommy La Stella wasn't able to make the play on. And then Trent Grisham scored from second on that play. And then the sixth, Jerickson Profar took advantage of an 0-2 mistake from Logan Webb and drove in 2 runs on a single to put the Padres up 3-1. That's all they need. The Padres had to escape James in the 7th and 8th innings to keep the lead. And Tim Hill, he had quite the performance in this game coming in and cleaning up the mess for Darvish. But what a game this was.
Yeah, Dom, this is a great game to watch. I mean, of course, only 3 runs. We did out hit them 7-5. Each team did have 1 error. Grisham and Hosmer had two hits apiece. But I mean, as you said, Tim Hill, he came in, he allowed that go ahead. That at first, what was a go ahead grand slam, but then they looked at it and they called it foul. Then he came back, base loaded, one out. Of course, the same batter struck out two in a row to get out of that. That is absolutely phenomenal. We will get to Tim Hill later in this episode, but Drew Pomeranz did allow a run, which is odd for him, but of course that happens to every reliever. Melanson came in 9 for 9 on saves, 2 Ks, no base runners, and he just looks phenomenal. I mean, I've been loving Melanson so far this year. And of course, Yu Darvish, 6 1/3 with 12 Ks, one run. He hasn't allowed more than one run since his opening day start, so he's been looking absolutely phenomenal. He's been the ace for the Padres this year, of course. But like you said, Profar got that go-ahead single in the 6th inning. Like you said, the 0-2 mistake from Webb. And that was just awesome to see. I mean, I'm surprised. I mean, not surprised, but it was 1-1, of course. Of course, it's not too far in the game in the 6th inning, but keeping Webb in the game, I mean, I wouldn't say it was a questionable choice because he was pitching great throughout the game. But that was just great to see from Profar, who's kind of been struggling a little bit this year, but it's great to see him right there. The pitching staff was phenomenal, as we both mentioned. Darvish has been looking great this year, and I'm just so happy with how Mark Melanson's been pitching this year. Of course, coming into the season, we have Kello, Melanson, Pomeranz, a bunch of guys who could have gotten save opportunities, and Melanson's just taking the job and run away with it with his 9th save of the year, and that's 9 for 9 so far. So I'm just, again, ecstatic with how Melanson's been pitching in save situations this year.
He's been truly unreal. The only time he's allowed a run was when he came in a non-save situation against Los Angeles Dodgers in the first game against them. He's been unreal. And we saw him close out the game in a non-save situation. I mean, it was a little bit different than a non-save situation. As a Padres prop 9, they were just getting him some work in. But we saw him close out the game. And the first win in the last 12 games at Chase Field, it had been bad stretch for the Padres and Chase, and it's glad that we got to see him break that streak. And Melanson, of course, was a tiny bit of that puzzle. But yeah, you mentioned it. Darvish was stellar again. He put himself into a tough situation at the end, but he was able to throw 107 pitches, which is quite astounding. And it'll be interesting to see him come out on Wednesday, see how much he's going to be able to go in that game after throwing 107 pitches. Of course, there's a Padres day off on Thursday, so maybe Jace Tingler will take advantage of that bullpen. But 12 strikeouts, that is a Padre career high for Yu Darvish. That's his new team record for him. He was stellar. I mean, he recorded 19 outs and 12 of them were the strikeout. He just misses bats. There's no other way to put it. His combination of the cutter, the four-seam, and the two-seam, and the slider and the curveball and the sinker, it's incredible. And hitters truly don't really have a great idea of what's coming in. Yu Darvish kind of controls his own success. If he's throwing strikes, he's very good. But when he's not throwing strikes, it kind of puts himself in a situation where he's more predictable and he's blocking batters and stuff like that. He hasn't done that since his first start.
I mean, Padres were looking for an ace. Of course, we got Darvish, we got Snell. Lamet's been injured. Musgrove, I mean, of course, he's not the ace of a team. He looked like it earlier in the year. But, I mean, Darvish has just been the ace that the Padres have needed for so long. And, of course, coming off that season last year, he was number 2 in Cy Young. And he struggled a little bit before last season, but he's back with a sub 2.2 ERA. But, yeah, he's currently sitting at 2.13 ERA with a 0.89 whip with 49 Ks. And it's just so awesome to see Darvish. I mean, his stuff's disgusting. And he just goes out on the mound. He looks so comfortable every single time he goes out. And he's just been huge for in every single start for the Padres this year.
His 49 strikeouts are currently 6th in baseball. He's ways behind Shane Bieber and even Garrett Cole, too. It's amazing how good some of the pitchers are up at the top of this league. And I mean, Darvish is right there with him. And the stretch that he's had since the beginning of the second half in 2019, all the way through right now, he's been a borderline top 5 starting pitcher in baseball. And it's pretty awesome to go out there and watch him put on the brown for us in the San Diego Padres. So let's move on to game 2. And this game was, of course, the game that I attended. It was such a fun game to be at. I mean, the energy throughout the game was incredible. And it started in the first inning with a Manny Machado home run. Trent Grisham got started with a hit. Fernando Tatis Jr. got walked on 4 pitches. And then Manny Machado, who still leads baseball in hard hits, which are baseballs hit over 95 miles an hour. He got hot in this game, and he hit three more over 100 miles an hour. And the first one was, of course, a three-run home run, which was, at the end of the day, all the Padres needed. And in the third inning, Tommy Pham hit a ball off the wall. And then from that point on, in the second inning, Tommy Pham hit a ball off the wall. And from that point on, the Padres didn't get another base hit until the seventh and eighth innings. It was a long time watching the Padres offense. They were able to draw a couple of walks here and there, but no hits. They weren't even hitting the ball hard too either. They were struggling. That's because Anthony DeSclafani has been really good for them this year. And the Giants were able to get two runs in the fifth. Blake Snell had to wobble his way out of the jam in the fourth inning. And then he had to wobble his way out of the jam in the fifth inning again after Mauricio Dubon, of all people, hit a home run. And then they kind of got a couple of weird hits in the fifth inning as well. Brandon Belt got jammed and floated one down the left side, in which the Padres were shifted. DeSclafani, the pitcher, got a base hit because Blake Snell forgot how to throw a strike for three pitches and then grooved him a fastball, and DeSclafani hit it right off Snell. And then they're able to drive in a couple more runs, but Blake Snell was able to hold on to the lead, and he got his first win as a San Diego Padre. And the Padres added three insurance runs, one on Jerickson Profar's first home run of the season. It was an absolute laser to right field. And then later in the inning, after Fernando Tatis Jr. and Eric Cosmer executed a double steal, Jake Cronenworth had a line drive single in the right center field to make it 6-2, which, of course, the Padres finished off with Pierce Johnson on the mound. Bullpen was absolutely lights out. Didn't allow a hit in four innings. Only Pierce Johnson walked a guy. Austin Adams and Emilio Pagan each struck out the side. It was electric. This game was a ton of fun. I was glad to be back at Petco for this. What did you notice from your couch watching the game on your phone or TV or whatever?
And I was watching on my TV this night, but it was just, I mean, of course, like you said, I mean, there wasn't much going on in between innings for us. We only scored we had three runs in the first, three runs in the eighth. It was just beginning and the end team right here in this game. But Grisham, I mean, he had two hits every single game this series, and all three had exactly two hits. So he's on a 7-game hit streak right now, and he's been playing hot. But like you said, I mean, Snell allowed one run in five innings, which is good. He struck out six, allowed five hits in the five innings. Did walk three guys, so he just needs to get his command a little bit down. I'm not too concerned about that. But, I mean, of course, the bullpen is absolutely phenomenal this game. Salmon pitched the sixth, 1-2-3, with only 12 pitches. And then you touched on this a little bit, but Austin Adams struck out the side in the seventh. Next inning, in the eighth, Pagan struck out the side. So that was six straight Ks right there for Adams and Pagan. Back-to-back, strike out the sides. That was just awesome to see. And Pierce Johnson, who's kind of been struggling a little bit this year, but I've always been high on Pierce Johnson. I believe you have too, but he did walk the guy in the ninth. But it was just huge getting that cushion in the eighth inning. I mean, especially for whoever goes out to pitch in the ninth, even if it was Melanson, who would have been comfortable regardless. Just that homer by Profar, which he absolutely destroyed. And then that two RBI hit for Cronenworth just gave us even more cushion. So from a 3-2 game into the eighth, going into a 6-2 game into the ninth, that's a huge difference. And just makes they're done for now, but makes our pitching staff a lot more comfortable. The fielders a lot more comfortable knowing that if they need to, they can play it safer and just get the outs and don't try and work too hard for it. But it was just clutch hitting by the Padres. Of course, the Machado home run was awesome to see. And just all around great game by the Padres pitching staff, only allowing five hits and striking out 12.
Yeah, it was a fun game, and there was a lot going on in the bullpen. They were lights out when they absolutely needed to be, and that's been the strength of the Padres team so far this year, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, Dom. I mean, this bullpen has been absolutely phenomenal this year. And coming into the year, we already mentioned it: Kella, Pierce Johnson, Drew Pomeranz, Melanson, and of course, Stammen has been absolutely great this year. And I know how high you are on Stammen. A lot of Padres fans were not last year and a few years before that, but I know you're a huge Stammen guy. I'm a huge – you've made me into a huge Stammen guy. Of course, watching him this year has just been awesome. And we've both been huge Austin Adams guys, and I've always liked Pagan. But, wow, this bullpen has just been so good this year, and just so nice going into late innings, watching our guys, our insane pitching, our insane starting rotation coming out, and just knowing that we have a bullpen that is this good. Obviously, there's games where they might blow it, we can't have a zero bullpen ERA every single game. But yeah, this game on Saturday was just awesome to watch, and the bullpen totally shut it down.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a pretty clean game with the exception of the long hitting drought. I mean, Snell was pretty good. He at times lost some of his command, and my brother was in his Twitch stream today, and Blake Snell was showing his 99 overall card that he gets for being, you know, Blake Snell. All major league players who play MLB The Show and play Diamond Dynasty, they get a 99 overall card of themselves. And Blake Snell's card has a 109 stamina rating out of 125. And if you've watched any Blake Snell start in his career, even when he was with the Rays, you know that he just doesn't work deep into games. It's just not who he does. That's not his game. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that as long as you give quality five, maybe six innings. Now, he hasn't given the Potter six innings yet. And I told him to comment, a 109 stamina rating is unrealistic. And Blake Snell, he read my brother's comment out of a chat of 700 people. And he said that he was just trying to do a little too much in this game. And I'd agree. At times, he gets ahead 0-2 and he just nibbles. And he's like, you know, trying to waste pitches. Like, dude, you got an elite fastball that goes 95 miles an hour that, like, you know, it jumps at hitters. You got a great curveball that can snap in an instant. You got a great slider that just cuts and just dives. And you got a really good changeup to go along with it. Stop nibbling at batters. Just attack them. And you can go six, seven innings. And until it continues to do that, Yu Darvish is the clear ace of this team. I mean, and Joe Musgrove, I mean, even over Blake Snell so far, has been the ace too. So I want to see a little bit more from Blake Snell. I want to see him get pitch into that seventh inning, because we all know Blake Snell is an incredible pitcher, and this is not meant to bag on Blake Snell, but he's not efficient. There's no way around it. He's not efficient, and he needs to be pitching more than five innings. And a team like the Giants that are very patient, they're able to be patient with him, draw long at bats. They only drew three walks, but Blake Snell needs to find a way to work deeper into games, and I think you'd agree with me on that.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, I've been liking what I'm seeing from Snell this year. And I did expect him to be, I thought he would have been the, coming into the season, would have been the opening day starter. He had a solid spring training compared to Darvish's. But, I mean, like you said, Musgrove has been pitching better than Snell. But, I mean, I'm not worried about Snell at all. He's been pitching fine. I would like him to get farther into games. But, I mean, can't ask that every single game. I know he hasn't been doing that every single game at all. But, I mean, I've been loving him. I mean, he's a great guy in the dugout, too. You see him in the dugout. Seems smiling, laughing with all the players. Of course, he's a great presence in the dugout. He had the interview on Sunday during the game, and he's just having a great time out there. Johnny and Mudd love him as well. But overall, I mean, I'm not worried about him at all. He's not struggling, I wouldn't say. He's just not pitching to his peak performance yet.
Right. He'll get there. I mean, we saw what really good Blake Snell looks like in the playoffs last year. So I'm not concerned. I just want to see a little bit more from him. And let's move on into the third game. And this game, you know, the Padres, they didn't really show up. In the first inning, Fernando Tatis Jr. hit a home run. It was his first hit of the series, and it was his first hit of the season against the Giants. So that was good to see from him. He kind of like broke out of his little slump against the Giants, hitting a home run off a very good pitcher in Kevin Gausman, who has a 2.04 ERA so far in the season. He's been absolutely fantastic, and I really enjoy watching him pitch. He's kind of a guy that was always tabbed as, like, you know, this guy with really good stuff, and he's finally breaking out with the Giants, which, of course, is unfortunate for the Padres because breaking out the rival, and he's been really good. But in the third inning, things kind of fell off the rails for Joe Musgrove. He was ahead 0-2 to Kirk Casale, and that ended up walking him. He was the eight hitter. Then Gausman attempted a bunt. It was not a good bunt. Musgrove tried to get the lead runner out at second base, made a throwing error, and then two hits later, the Giants are up 4-0 after LaStella and Tauchman both got hits. Tauchman hit a home run. And then in the fifth inning, the Giants added on two runs. And the ninth inning, the Giants added another run without putting the ball in play that inning until the end of the inning, which was very frustrating, but at that point, the game was basically over. Giants only got five hits this game, and they scored seven runs. The Padres got eight hits. They only scored one run. I think that kind of embodies the current Padres season. They're not getting hits with runners on base, and the Padres only came to the plate three times today with two runners on base, and all three of them came with two outs, all three of those batters got out. And that's kind of been a problem all year. And if the Padres want to get better, that's where they got to start. And they're still 16-13. What do you think?
I mean, you pretty much touched on everything. Of course, Musgrove did not look good today. I mean, I'm not worried about him at all either. Still a big Musgrove fan. But like you said, I mean, just that last inning where Northcraft was pitching, walking five guys. He did go up for the second inning and did throw 46 pitches this game. He must have just, run out of gas. I know he's a reliever. He's not used to throwing that many pitches. But with five walks, that's just not okay. I'm surprised he stayed in that long, going in for second inning and walking all those guys. Yeah, you said it, the odd thing about this game, we out-hit the Giants 8-5, and they outscored us 7-1. Of course, Tatis had our only run of the game in the first inning. One thing I'd like to see more from this team is just working more, like, in between innings. Like, Sunday, we only had one run, and that was in the first inning. In that Friday game, we scored in the first and the eighth. I'd love to see this team get more work in between innings. And just not be scoring early and late. Obviously, this doesn't happen every single game, but just getting runs off a starting pitcher later in the game, or once a reliever comes in, that changes the momentum a lot. So I'd love to see that a lot more from his Padres team. But Grisham looks great again. We already mentioned this. He did strike out twice, but he went 2-for-4. Tommy Pham went 2-for-4. He's now above the Mendoza line, so that's great to see. Caratini really struggled. Machado struggled today, but I'm not worried. Obviously, you can't ask for a sweep every single series, which doesn't happen ever, every single time. But winning 2 out of 3 against this hot Giants team is big, and we just struggled in that game on Sunday. But not too worried. It was a tough game. And as you said, Dawson's a great pitcher. We struggled against him very much. But only drawn one walk in the entire game on Sunday. That hurts. You've got to work on the count, show some more discipline. Did have 9 strikeouts. It's not an ideal number, of course. But I'd love to see some more guys just get on base, run some walks. We have a lot of guys on this team who have great disciplines, who can draw some walks. But like you said, 0-for-3 runners in scoring position. We had first and second, I believe, 2 or 3 times. And those were both with 2 outs. Once 2 outs would happen, that's when the hits would come in. And obviously you can get hit, single, first and second. But it won't matter if you can't get a run in. And our only run scored this game was from Tatis. So, the bats were cold today. Not too worried. The tougher game. Surprising thing is the Padres are 7-9 at home this year, which I'm not worried about at all. It's, as you said, or as we have been saying, it's April. Obviously, it is now May. Still early in the season, but so I'm not going to be worried about this one game after winning the first 2 in the series. But they'll bounce back against this Pirates team, which we'll get to in a sec.
Right. And you said Manny Machado kind of had a rough game. He hit the ball hard, which is what he's done all year. And I've already said it this podcast. Leads baseball in hard hit balls. And he still has a .231 batting average and a .380 slugging percentage. At what point are we really talking about Manny Machado being the league's unluckiest hitter? This dude can't catch a break. It's ridiculous. It's really hard to watch. And another guy, if you know me off this podcast, you know what I think of Tommy Pham. And Tommy, he's had a rough start to the year. He hit a ball hard on Saturday, and he got 2 hits again here on Sunday. He's drawing a lot of walks. He's starting to put together a lot of great at-bats, and that is great news for this offense because he's one of the guys that had struggled and been a big part of the reason why the Padres' offense had been off to a not-so-great start. Now, there's guys like Will Myers who have not been doing great as of late, and we'll talk about Will Myers a little bit more in a little bit. Eric Hosmer is starting to come a little bit more back down to earth, which, of course, we all knew considering the way that he was just hitting ground balls at a crazy high rate, but they were getting through. It's just not really sustainable. But if Pham can continue the success, I think that's a great development for the Padres lineup. And, yeah, Northcraft is also not going to be throwing 46 pitches in any other games on the year. So, that's not something I'd continue to watch out for. He looked fine. But walking 5 guys is really rough. And when they say he walked in a run, he legitimately walked in a run. He walked the first 3 batters that inning, got Longoria to ground out. He struck out the next batter, and then he walked Mike Tauchman to allow the run. It was tough to watch, but he's not going to be throwing 46 pitches in an outing. So I thought that was funny. You got anything else to add about this game before we move on to the next series?
Just before we move on to the next series, one thing I wanted to mention was just the stolen bases the Padres have had. I did not do the research on this. That is my bad. But I do know that we're probably the top of the league, if not first, in stolen bases. We have nine stolen bases.
Bobby, the Padres are double the next team in stolen bases.
Okay, yeah, thank you. I knew we were up there somewhere. I didn't want to put out stats. I was not sure of.
It's not that we're up there. We're in first, and we have twice as many stolen bases as any other team in the league.
Thank you. But yeah, nine stolen bases in the last five games, and a lot of them have been big. We've been seeing guys on first and second getting double steals, and then just a blooper or single to score too, and that's huge for games. I mean, this is nothing to do with this, but every single time I'm playing MLB 2K or something, just get a steal. It's all about moving the guy over, getting the extra base, and that's just huge. And of course, that's a baseball game. Of course, relates to real baseball. I just want to mention that. But I mean, yeah, just how aggressive these guys have been on the bases has been huge. We have a lot of guys who have been stealing. Tatis had three steals in the past five games. Grisham, Machado. We've had seven guys get a steal in the past five games, totaling up for nine, as I mentioned. But I mean, that's just one thing I love to see. I love seeing aggressive base running. And it's a lot of that. I mean, that can change the game. Obviously, it comes down to if you can get the guy over, if you can get the hit, it's more about, it. Of course, you can get the hit. But if you can get the guy over, make them more comfortable for the batter, just put it in play, see what happens. But yeah, just aggressive base running has been huge for the Padres this year.
And AJ Casswell wrote a really cool story earlier today about it. I'd encourage everyone to read it. Just talking about like how big of the situations there are when they steal the bases, and when they do it, they double steal. And it's not always the big guys, like you mentioned, Manny Machado, Eric Hosmer, guys like that are stealing bases. And I think that's huge. And it's old school baseball. And like, you know, everyone's always like, oh, get the old school stuff out of here. No, get the old school mentality out of here. Keep the stolen bases, keep the stuff like that. That stuff's awesome. And I love to watch the Padres steal bases. I'm glad you mentioned that. Now, before we move on to our series preview, we're going to do our Devil and Wildcat of the Week. Devil of the Week is a good player. This is Devils Talking Padres. Bobby and I, we're both Sun Devils at Arizona State University. And our Devil of the Week is, of course, a really cool player, someone who's performed well this past week. And our Wildcat of the Week, of course, Arizona State's rivals, the University of Arizona Wildcats, goes to a player who struggled this past week. And we also we don't just want to bag on them on this podcast. We want to, you know, say what they've been doing wrong, how they can fix it so they cannot be the Wildcat that week and they can be the Devil this week. So it is my responsibility for the Devil of the Week. So I will give my Devil. It is going to be Tim Hill. He hasn't pitched a ton this past week, but his past two outings, he's gone two scoreless. He's recorded four strikeouts. But on the course of the season, he's just been super impressive. And I couldn't come up with like one player. And of course, he got out of that really key situation that led to the win on Friday night. So I wanted to give a shout out to Tim Hill. He's been one of the Padres' best relievers. The emergence of him has really established that really solid lefty arm, because Drew Pomeranz hasn't been as good this season as he was last year. And then, of course, with the injuries to Matt Strom and the other lefty relievers not being as good, Ryan Weathers being pushed into the bullpen, it just seems like Tim Hill's emergence and his success has been like so valuable to the Padres. And I wanted to be sure that I shouted him out, especially after what he looked like on Friday. His emotion was awesome to see in a game in April. It was still April when he pitched that game. We're now in May, and I thought it was awesome. So he's my Devil of the Week.
Of course, I love that pick. And before I get to the Wildcat, I just want to talk about Tim Hill again. But like you said, lefty relievers, I mean, they're super valuable. We have Pomeranz and we have Hill. And like you said, I mean, the intensity isn't showing, the emotion. I love to see that from pitchers. And same thing, like, some people don't like when pitchers show motion, batters show motions on bat flips. It's just as big for pitchers, getting a big out to get out of an inning. And it's just the emotion Tim Hill has been showing. He's been great. Of course, the one you talked about on Friday, he allowed the grand slam, which ended up being foul. And then getting those two strikeouts were just huge. And of course, which pretty much every baseball fan is watching that game against the Dodgers, where he got out of that. That was awesome to see. But Tim Hill has been great in this past week, and I'm loving what I'm seeing from him. He did have some struggles a little bit earlier, but I'm still on the Tim Hill train, as are you, of course, as he is the Devil of the Week. But, I mean, yeah, just, again, the emotion he's been showing and just getting out of clutch situations, that's huge for a reliever, and that really gets confidence up. And so, yeah, moving on to the Wildcat of the Week, of course, winning two out of three against the Giants, someone who did not play great. Of course, for me, it's Will Myers. He went 2-for-12 in the last five games with 4 strikeouts. He did drop 2 walks, which I do like to see that, but with only 2 hits, and they're both singles, he's just not getting extra base hits, really. As you said, hitting a lot of ground balls. He's just rolling over the ball a little bit. So I like to see him, I mean, of course, just try and get those hard hit balls, get some barrels out there and just drive it to the outfield more. Of course, you can't just do that every single time, but I just like to see him just get more barrel on the ball, get it to the outfield, and just not rolling over it as much, of course. Not worried about Myers. I mean, of course, I've always been a Will Myers fan, and I'm so glad, of course, that he's still on the team as he's the longest tenured Padre. So I think he'll be fine. He just needs to get more comfortable up there and not hit too many ground balls.
Yeah, I think Will Myers is a good choice. He's definitely come down from his really hot start to the beginning of the year and also his really strong 2020 campaign. Still have faith in Will Myers, but he's just not making as good a contact. He still might be dealing with an injury of some sorts. It was really tough to see what it was, but you could tell he was clearly injured a couple of weeks ago. Might still not be fully recovered from it. And if that's the case, you might as well, like, you know, give him a couple off days. Like, we did see him not get the start on Sunday. We saw Profar playing right, and Profar, he had an okay day. He made a really nice play in the gap. Profar's just been so much better defensively on the outfield than he has been in the infield. And I mean, we'll figure it out. And he's changed his stance a bit from what even 2019 and then 2020 as well. So he might still be adjusting and he still might not be fully set in. And he's still 30 games removed from a stellar, almost MVP campaign. He finished in 11th place for that. So Will be just fine. But yeah, I think him being the Wildcat of the Week is certainly appropriate because he's not been as good. So let's jump into this upcoming series with the Pittsburgh Pirates. 3 gamers starting this Monday. Padres will get a day off following it on Thursday. And it's going to be interesting because the Padres, of course, had the very disappointing split with Pittsburgh on the road. And then Pittsburgh so far, they've been an interesting team because they actually got off to a lot better of a start than people were expecting them to. But since then, have come back down to earth just a bit. At 12-15, they have a negative 26 run differential, which is by a large margin the worst in all of baseball. But they don't have the worst record in baseball. And that, of course, is the mark that matters the most. So 3-game series up and coming. What are you expecting out of the Padres?
Yeah, I mean, of course, in this last series we played them before we get to this one. I mean, we swept the Rangers in the 3-game series and we're sitting at 7-3 and then won the first of 4 against the Pirates. And we're like, oh, this can be a good series. And we split 4, which going into the Dodgers series back in the middle of April, I mean, it was not looking good. We just needed momentum going into that Dodgers series and we split 4 with the Pirates, which, I mean, after that, they started looking a little better. Since then, they've lost 4 in a row. But like you said, they're not the worst team in baseball, not even the worst in the division. They're currently half a game above the Reds. They're sitting in 4th place right now. But for this series, I mean, I would just love to see, the bats just be more consistent. We do have a lot of games where we're either on or off. I want to see some more guys just get more guys in scoring position and just bring them in. I mean, Padres have been struggling with runners in scoring position a lot this year, so I'd love to see them not focus, but do better in that scenario. But obviously you can't just ask for a sweep every single time. Can't get too ahead of ourselves, but should easily win 2 out of 3 right here. I mean, can't take anything for granted, of course, against any team we're playing. Doesn't matter who they are. But 3-game series, we should win 2 out of 3. Of course, the pitching matchups are not all set. We'll get to that in a sec. But we should win 2 out of 3 against this team.
Yeah, I, of course, would like 2 out of 3 against the Pirates as well. They're coming off a sweep from the Cardinals. So they actually were just above 500 earlier this past week, but they're now under 500. And I'd imagine it's going to stay like that for the rest of the year. And maybe the Padres can continue to beat up on them because they're just not that good of a team. And yeah, pitching matchups, I mean, let's get into them. Let's talk about the Padres first. In the first game, they're going to go with Miguel Diaz. He's going to be making his 2021 debut. He did not pitch at all with the Padres in the 2020 season and is not had the best success in the major leagues thus far. In 66 career innings, he's got a 6.62 ERA, a 5.82 FIP, so
according to fielding from the Padres. Been a little bit unlucky. Decent strikeout guy. Struck out 67 batters in 66 innings so far in his career. So that'll be interesting. He, of course, is a relief pitcher, so I wouldn't expect him to go too deep into the game. Maybe two, maybe three innings. I don't know. Not expecting too much. And, of course, we'll see where the Padres go from after there. Tuesday, starter still TBD. A lot of people are expecting Denelson Lamet to return from the injured list. He, of course, started lastly on April 21st against the Milwaukee Brewers. He will be eligible. He is starting on Monday and then transitioning towards Tuesday. Ryan Weathers is, of course, another possibility. You and I were there when he was pulled after one inning against the Diamondbacks. According to Jace Tingler, both of them had good bullpens on Saturday. So who knows who's going to go on Tuesday, and we probably won't know until Monday night's presser after hopefully a victory against the Pirates. And then game three, Yu Darvish will pitch against the Pirates once again. Yu Darvish was victorious against them in the first game, and the Padres will be looking for that hopefully once more. What do you make of what the Padres are going to be doing in this little three-game series?
Yeah, I mean, of course, I mean, there's a lot of it is up in the air. We're not exactly sure who will pitch game two, if it's Weathers or Lamet. Some people were saying they want to see Gore come up, and of course, can't just throw him in when he's not ready, which a lot of guys, a lot of Padres fans, a lot of Padres Twitter are saying, why is he not ready yet? And of course, we don't want to rush him in. I wouldn't mind having him come up for a game. Of course, he's not ready yet if he's not with us in the major leagues yet. But I mean, seeing Miguel Diaz pitch, I mean, I'm not going to expect too much out of this. He's not the best pitcher. This will be his only fourth career start. So I don't expect him to go too far at all. If he does, great. I would love to see that. But not expecting too much from him, even against this Pirates lineup. Regardless, I would like to see him do well, of course. Best of luck to him. And if we see Weathers or if we see Lamet on Tuesday, I mean, just as long as they're both healthy, that's all that matters to me right now. And of course, to you and all Padres fans. Don't want to rush anyone back. Of course, with Weathers coming off the injury in the game we were at, hopefully he is totally fine to pitch. And if not, then maybe we'll see Lamet out there. And Lamet, I mean, I'm worried about him. I just hope that he does pitch. He's fine. Doesn't have any setbacks, as we've consistently seen with a lot of these Padres pitchers. And of course, Yu Darvish on Wednesday. I mean, Yu Darvish, he's the ace of the team. And I expect him to go out there and pitch a 5-6-7 inning gem like he usually does.
Yeah, I mean, this whole series is going to be kind of up for grabs from the Padres pitching staff. And if you're going to have any team to go up against when you do this, I mean, I think the Pittsburgh Pirates are a pretty solid team to do it against. They're 102 runs so far, scored on the season, ranks third to last in the National League. And they're in front of the two teams with the least amount of games played so far in the National League. Of course, the Mets are also behind them, but the Mets' offense have been pretty pathetic so far in the year. So that, of course, is not too shocking to see there. But let's talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates starters are going to be throwing out there. Tyler Anderson, the Padres killer, will, of course, be out on the mound. I mean, this dude throws 90 miles an hour with, like, mediocre off-speed pitches, but the Padres just can't hit him. Mitch Keller, who the Padres drilled in his start last time against the Padres, he'll be starting game two. And in game three, it's going to be JT Brubaker, who only has 74 career MLB innings underneath his belt, but is off to a pretty solid start in 2021 with 27 innings, 2.63 ERA, and a 1.024 whip. So what do you think of these guys, Bobby?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Tyler Anderson, the Padres killer, he has been pitching well so far this year. He hasn't had any starts with more than three runs allowed. So he's not exactly an ace exactly, but he's been solid this year, and he doesn't blow you away with his pitches, but he does get the job done. He's been pitching fine this year. He did have one start where he allowed 10 hits in in less than six innings. But other than that, he hasn't allowed more than five runs in any of his other four starts. So, I mean, can't go out there and just hope you're going to crush him. Of course, with this lineup, hope we should be able to, but he's one guy who's been an underrated pitcher this year, who's been looking well. Or who's been looking good, sorry. And Mitch Keller, I mean, he's not been looking great this year. Like you said, the Padres killed him in that Thursday game earlier in mid-April. He went 3 1/3 of of an inning with 7 earned runs and 9 hits. And he just did not look great at all right there. Hopefully the Padres can come out and just crush him even some more, of course. And then in Brubaker, I mean, he's, like you said, he's been pitching great this year. He's been getting a lot of ground balls so far. And he's been, I mean, coming off a lot of solid starts. I mean, his worst start of the season he just had, where he went 5 innings, 7 hits, 3 runs, which isn't the worst scenario for a pitcher. It's not the best, but that's not bad at all. From a starting pitcher standpoint, who is in the middle or back of the rotation, every other start he's allowed 2 runs or less. So he's been looking good. He's another guy who can't just go up and hope to take advantage of. Cause like you said, he has been pitching well this year. He's a whip of 1.02, ERA of 2.63, and he's been looking good. He doesn't blow you away with his pitches. He's averaging over a strikeout per inning, 30 Ks and 27 and a third. So he's been having a solid year again. But, I mean, this series we should be able to take. No guys in this rotation who are aces exactly, but two of these three guys have been pitching well this year so far.
Yeah, I mean, I just pray that Padres can finally hit Tyler Anderson. In 57 career innings against the Padres, and that's a pretty solid sample size. He's a 2.53 ERA. Like, what on earth? For a pitcher who, for his career, has not been that great, 4.58 ERA. I mean, these are like Eric Lauer against the Dodgers type numbers. I mean, of course, that's different because Eric Lauer pitching and doing well against the Dodgers, who, of course, been a much better team over the course of the career than the Padres have. So hopefully they can get to him. Mitch Keller, he's got a live arm. I mean, this dude's a great pitcher. He's the Pittsburgh Pirates' best pitching prospect. I think he exceeded his rookie limits. Yeah, he did. So he's no longer a prospect, but very highly touted prospect going into last season. So he could bring it on at any time. Padres just got to jump on him like they did last time. And then Brubaker, he's off to a great start, and Padres got to find a way to get to him because he's also not a great guy. So maybe the Padres can get to him there as well. His FIP so far in the year is a 3.9, and his ERA is a 2.63. So maybe the Padres will finally give him the results that have been more skewed towards better for Brubaker. Maybe that's what the Padres are going to be looking forward to. And just talking about some of the hitters for the Pirates, you know, their lineup is not that great. Like I mentioned, they don't score a ton of runs. And their hitters, I mean, they have a couple of okay hitters. Colin Moran is finally having that really good year that the Pirates have just been waiting for. He was in the trade with Gerrit Cole. He went and returned to the Pirates along with Joe Musgrove. He's had an up-and-down career, but he's finally turning things around. He's a really talented hitter, and it's good for the Pirates. He's finally producing. Ryan Reynolds, he's having a more like 2019 season for him. He finished in fourth place in the NL Rookie of the Year voting, right behind Fernando Tatis Jr., and was absolutely awful in 2020. He's having a much better year with a 385 OBP, a 426 slug. So that's good for them as well. Then Adam Frazier and Jacob Stallings are having solid but not great years. So, I mean, those guys are the guys the Padres got to watch out for. And then in the bullpen, it's not that great, but their closer, Richard Rodriguez, has been pretty electric so far. And 10 and a third innings, he's allowed one hit and one walk, and he struck out 10. So he's been lights out. And if the Padres fall behind, then it's going to be tough to come back, especially if you wait till the ninth inning. So you got any other notes on the Pirates?
I mean, your turn's already went over most of the lineup. Reynolds and Moran have been having a great year. Gregory Polanco is really struggling. And some guys who, I mean, they've been hurt, injured, haven't been playing really at all. Todd Frazier's played 8 games, and he's, I mean, I don't expect to see him in the series, but he's 1-for-21 this year. One guy who I really wanted to see was the NL Rookie of the Year, or I wouldn't say front runner, but top candidate coming into the year was Cabrian Hayes. He's only played 2 games and is 1-for-5, so he just doesn't have that sample size yet, of course, but I would have loved to see him this series. He's a great young talent who a lot of guys are expecting to do great things this year once he's playing on a consistent basis. But, I mean, yeah, this lineup doesn't blow you away, really. There's some guys in there who are solid. Like you said, Reynolds, Moran, Adam Frazier have all been playing solid. But, again, this lineup's not too scary at all. I mean, pretty much mentioned the same thing in this last Pirates preview. But again, they did take 2 out of 4 against us. They did split with us. We lose this series. I mean, you just can't let that happen, of course. I mean, we did just win 2 out of 3 against the Giants, but we just got to keep the momentum coming. And against this starting rotation, who has been solid this year, I still don't see a way where against this lineup where we should not win 2 out of 3 at least in the series.
Yeah, I'm trying to find an injury update for Ke'Bryan Hayes, and I can't find it, which makes me feel like he's not going to be back for this upcoming series, which is good for the Padres, but obviously sucks for baseball because, I mean, like you mentioned, he was expected to be a Rookie of the Year front runner, and my Rookie of the Year pick, Dylan Carlson, has been taking advantage of his absence, and he's been killing it so far for the Cardinals. So, I mean, I would love to be right about that, but most importantly, I'd like for Hayes to get back out on the field, so... it sucks that Padres fans won't be able to watch him, but it's also good for Padres fans that he won't be making spectacular plays at third base and hitting bombs. So I guess Padres fans will take it. You got anything else before we wrap this episode of Devils Talking Padres?
No, just hopefully, of course, we can take 2 out of 3 again. And I mean, of course, great to be back. Unfortunately, we're both busy last week and did not get that recap and preview that we usually do, but we'll be more consistent, of course, coming up in the future.
I don't got anything else to add, so that's going to wrap up this episode of Devils Talking Padres. This is an East Village Times podcast, so make sure to check out our content at eastvillagetimes.com. Bobby and I, we both write for the site, and we've been putting out a lot of Padres content, a lot of Aztecs content, and shortly, minor league baseball season will be getting underway, so we'll have that going for us as well. A lot of content that you won't see elsewhere. We know some of the other Padres sites also cover minor leagues. So do we. We're one place you can find everything for free online. So make sure to do that. I know the UT and Matt Friars makes you pay. That is something East Village Times offers to you for free. So make sure to follow us on Twitter at @EBT_news to find all of our content there. And you can find us on eastvillagetimes.com. Make sure to follow Bobby and I on Twitter. You can find me at @DMStern19. And you can find Bobby at @BobbyMurphy2000 on Twitter. We post a lot of stuff, mostly Padres related. Bobby's also a big Suns and Bulls fan. We're also big football guys, so you can find us on Twitter. And thank you for tuning in to Devils Talking Padres. Follow, subscribe to us, depending on where you listen to us. And we will catch you next episode following the series against the Pirates. Go Padres.